I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'm Earl Rose, pianist, and I'm a composer as well, and I perform here for 20 years or so. We are at Bemelman's Bar in the cafe in the Hotel Carlisle.
Yep, Alpha Bravo, Charlie Delta, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hi, I'm Tony Bourdain, and you're listening to Munchies.
This is definitely my favorite bar in New York.
I love it for a lot of reasons. First and foremost, of course, the murals and the history. I mean, Biebelman's is a hero of mine, both as a children's illustrator, storyteller, but also as a great chronicler of the backstairs life of the restaurant. I mean, he really did it first. He was a man who liked to live beyond his means. He had very expensive tastes. He lived, apparently, in the hotel for quite some time and paid his way by doing these illustrations on the wall. I believe this is the largest and only extant permanent installation of Lillard Biebelman's work. And it depicts Biebelman's characters in Central Park and various New York landmarks. And you can see, if you look carefully around here, there's Madeline and... You're going to make me choke up. I mean, her little classmates from...
How many times have you read the book Madeline, do you think?
Oh, many, many times. I've read it to my daughter over and over. I've read it to her classmates at school on visiting Daddy Day. That point where your daughter gets old enough or too old to enjoy Madeline, that's a heartbreaking moment right there. Could I have a...
First of all.
Thank you, good to be back. let me get a Bombay Sapphire Martini straight up with an extra olive.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'll have what he's having.
Great. Good choice. Unless you're planning on using power tools or driving or doing neurosurgery or really anything that requires your brain after this. I am not under ordinary circumstances, so martini is a bad lifestyle choice. It's not my drink of choice. But this is the sort of place that sort of demands a martini. They make a very good one, a very large one. And I plan on a long nap after this, so, there's little chance of, bad decision making.
What do you think makes a great martini?
Good gin. The slightest hint of, a fair amount of vermouth, actually. The classic original martini, I think, was like 50-50. I like the little bit of vermouth, some good gin, an olive or two. I like an extra olive. Cold and stirred, not shaken. Okay. Shaken is bad. It breaks little ice fragments into the gin. It's funny you asked me this because I pursued this subject at length with Dale DeGroff, who's sort of the guru of classic cocktails. And he makes a very good case for, there's no such thing as a vodka martini. It's all about the botanicals. And, don't fuck up your martini by shaking it, no matter how cool that might sound.
So you have a new cookbook out, Appetites.
Indeed.
Why this cookbook? Why now?
I think, I've always had a kind of a subversive desire to undermine whatever people think of me and who I am. And I thought a family-friendly, useful cookbook that's a reflection of, who I'm cooking for lately, which is to say, a little girl. I thought that would be an interesting change of pace and fun. And I also, the notion of challenging the look of the cookbook as we know it was exciting to me. I wanted to make a really super fucked up cookbook, one that looked unlike any other. I was very much influenced by Fergus Henderson's Notes to Tail Eating, which sort of broke the barrier of food that, with a bite out of it. Martin Picard's Pied Cochon cookbook was a masterpiece of just esoterica The Joe Beef cookbook was amazing. I wanted to do something that was just really creative and confusing and didn't look like other cookbooks. So, you know, I wanted to do a cookbook with a Ralph Steadman cover and a really great photographer, in this case, a guy named Bobby Fisher, who I from the very beginning said, look, just whatever it is you've never been allowed to do, do that, okay? And he went really wild. I said, just go as wild as you want. I mean, let's do plates with no food left on them at all. I mean, we ended up taking some photos out, but that's because I think he had bloody Band-Aids in some of the the food beauty shots, which, while I admired, ultimately was just a little too disturbing, you know? Especially next to the pictures of, you know, a 9-year-old girl's little fingers, you know, cutting ratatouille. I thought, you know, the following photograph of a bloody Band-Aid was it was upsetting to me.
Yeah, you have some essentials in there, like you have deviled eggs, my favorite thing in
the
world.
Who doesn't love deviled eggs? I mean, let's be real.
Yeah, there's probably like 5 people that we all don't like in the world who dislike them. But there is a photo of you eating a sandwich on the toilet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of wanted to set a context here for my unholy love of the New York Street Fair sausage and pepper hero, which, in spite of how completely lame our street fair culture is, I mean, it's always the same dreary suspects. Everything's dreadful. But that dirty, nasty sausage and pepper hero, I can't resist. And yet the outcome is always nearly immediate and the same, meaning I'm going to be spending some time on the Thunder Bucket. So the point was, eliminate the middle man, accept your destiny.
Your daughter, I mean, she's 9 now? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah? So what, is there a particular recipe in the book that you find yourself like cooking for her often? Or?
Well, she likes to cook certain things with me, and then there's other things she likes to eat. She likes me to cook for her. I mean, she loves making ratatouille because she gets to use the knife, which, of course, fills me with terror, but there's a lot of knife work involved, and she's a very determined young woman. She's not somebody who gives up. You know, if you try to teach her capoeira in a day, she's going to keep doing it. She's not going to stamp her foot and say, I'm just not getting it, and walk away. She's going to keep doing it until she wears you out. Not me, but whoever. And she was determined to use a knife. It's a dish she likes doing. I guess some of the pastas, I love cooking for her, you know, any of them. Cooking pasta makes me happy in general. It's not my area of expertise, but it's something that always really pleases me.
Thinking about, I mean, just being a father now, do you feel that that has changed your perspective of your work in any way?
Yeah, I think I'm less likely to stick my head up out of a foxhole to get a shot. I've done some foolish things on the show, and you know, when I found myself saying, "Look, I've lived a good life. What the hell?" You know. Now I feel at least a responsibility to at least try to make sensible decisions to live long enough to reach the eye rolling phase of my daughter's life. You know. So maybe, you know, I think more about the risks I take. I try to be sensible about things. I'm a little less reckless. I very much think about how things might look, you know, my daughter or classmates. You know, I mean, not that I would anyway, to be honest, but, you know, I'm not a guy who goes to strip clubs. You know, I'm not going to be, you know, snorting rails, you know, off a stripper's taint. You know, ever. I wouldn't anyway, but I mean, it's the sort of perception that, you know, I'm careful to avoid. I think that particularly where it comes to, as far as women are concerned, I mean, you know, my daughter's a young woman. She will be a full-grown woman. I don't want her to look back at her father as someone people could reasonably call like a pig or a, you know, a fucking bro or a, you know, a high-fiving, you know, lecherous asshole. So I think about that. You know, I'm trying to be a distinguished motherfucker. Right? I'd love to say it's been a struggle, but honestly, it isn't. I mean, that was just never me to start with.
You just came back from Oman.
Yeah.
And you've traveled everywhere in the universe. Is there anywhere that you haven't been?
Yeah, I mean, chances are, if I haven't been there, it's because of security, insurance reasons. I mean, the insurance company won't let us go. We've been hoping to get in Afghanistan, northern Afghanistan, for some time, which I'm told is reasonably secure to do. Yemen, I would love to go to, but obviously can't. I mean, years ago, before the conflicts and all the terrible things started happening there, we were very close to going and very motivated to go. It's this incredible culture, incredible country. You know, almost everything came out of there. You know, all of the food, so many Arab cultures originated there. Coffee. Someplace I wanted to go, Kashmir, Venezuela. I've been there for speaking gigs, but getting to shoot there has been really problematic. The insurance companies are not happy with the situation there, and not so far have refused to allow us to go. And that's, I mean, we've been to Iraq, we've been to post-Benghazi Libya, but Venezuela has been a real problem.
What is a place that you've gone back to and said, holy shit, it's
changed?
It's just so different. Yeah.
Well, China. I mean, the first time I went to China back just in like 2000, it was a two-wheel culture. You know, everybody was either on bicycles or motorbikes in Beijing.
Allow me, Mr. Burden, your martini. Bombay Sapphire,
you.
Straight up.
Thank
with
so
extra
much.
Olives.
You know, with Shanghai, there seems to be a Lamborghini or a Maserati dealership on every corner. I mean, the money, it's flowing in all directions. The consumerism, the desire from this emerging middle class to have the things that the rest of the world had and they didn't years ago. So that's a place that's really, really, really changed drastically. Maybe that's been the fastest and most drastic change.
Well, cheers to that, I
cheers.
Guess, huh?
Ooh. Yeah, there's more waiting. We have a little backup here.
Oh, thank God.
Good.
It's like Valley of the Dolls in a good way.
Yeah, really, we should be mixing these with, like, you know, Seconals, I guess, if we were going to go for the full Jack and Suzanne experience.
When she's 21, I went to school in New Orleans, so it's different. But where are you going to take her for her first legal drink?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I don't know. Look, my daughter is, you know, a tough kid. She grew up watching USC. You know, her mom's a mixed martial artist. I might bring her to, like, an Irish, you know, an old man's bar. You know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, day drinker bar, and say, look, this is what it is, you know, right here. I don't think, you know, it should be a glamorous experience. I think... this is where people come to get drunk.
Yeah.
You know, maybe let's catch a little bit of a buzz together, but you know, don't end up a regular here, honey, if you can avoid it. You know, you'll notice Daddy isn't.
So, it's the holidays. Do you have a favorite holiday song or
anything? I hate them all.
Yeah.
I really hate them all.
So, what are you listening to this time of year?
I'm listening to Fugazi. I'm listening to a lot of pre-disco funk, strangely enough, like Curtis Mayfield, Bill Withers, Teddy Pendergrass. I'm a little jangly. I'm a little emotionally sort of, for a whole hell of a lot of reasons, I'm careful about my music selections, you know, so that I don't want them to get me all messed up. trying to stay cool here.
Are you a vinyl guy or no?
No, I mean, in a perfect world, I would be. I mean, you know, if I was real young, if I had the room and the time, but I don't have either of those things. I don't have time to cultivate and curate a lovingly vinyl collection. I need music now, quickly, and I'm willing to make some sacrifices in sound quality. I'm also, as a guy who's, you know, been through a divorce, I'm careful about acquiring beloved possessions. You know, there's that line Robert De Niro talks about in Heat about, you know, being ready to walk away from anything at any time. when it comes to objects, especially ones which I naturally feel, you know, that I cherish, certain books, records would be a real... But, you know, I sold a lot of my... You know, I used to be on sample service for Columbia Records when my dad worked there, so I had a rather extraordinary vinyl collection. I was also a comics nerd. I had an amazing collection of Golden Age, EC, and early Marvels. But I sold all that shit for drugs. And so I have an impulse to covet and to collect. And I fight that. I just don't go down that road. You know, can you own anything anyway? Really? You know, I also think about, you know, when I kick off, you know, is my daughter going to appreciate this? No. What's it for? You know what I do covet, though? They gave me one of these here, with the older ones, one of the old brown lamps from here.
Wow.
Like, that's a treasured possession.
How many martinis did that take?
Fair number.
You just ate noodles with President Obama recently.
Yes.
How are the noodles?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, I knew they were going to be good. Been there before. I thought he'd like them. I was at it was a family-run bun cha place in Hanoi. Bun cha being these little pork patties and hunks of basically marinated and grilled, charcoal grilled pork served in a room temperature broth with sticky rice noodles. I thought he'd like it. And I thought it was true to what we do. You know, I'm not Dan Rather. And it was a Hanoi thing. I think that was important. I mean, if you're going to be in Hanoi, eat something that's specific to Hanoi. And I really didn't understand at the time how deeply that resonated with Hanoians, who the next day were literally coming up to me in tears. They'd recognize me from the tattoos, and they were in tears, and they couldn't believe that the President of the United States had chosen to eat bun cha, not pho, not spring roll. He went to this little family-run joint upstairs. Look, it was very great. It was fun. You know, I liked him. He's smart as fuck. So smart and warm, engaged, kind to the people around. Other people in the restaurant, of course, all wanted a piece of my crew. And cool. The man's cool. You know, I hope we did him justice because he gave us a lot of his time. He gave us 2 days of his time. And it's an experience I'm very grateful for. I will have another one of these.
Yeah, let's do another.
Yeah, let's do another.
Yeah.
The piano is turning out very well.
Yeah.
So we go as long as you want, as long as these keep coming.
If you could, like, get rid of anything in society, clowns, keep them or leave them.
I see no need for them.
Yeah.
Have they ever entertained anyone? Were children entertained by clowns?
No.
No children I know. They're frightened by them.
Yeah. Also, last year there was a clown hysteria. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, and I mean, there's way too much clown-related murder. You know, it's almost a prerequisite. You know, if you would apply for the job of serial killer, clown seems to be, you know, a necessary... Necessary. Yeah, no, I just don't get it.
Well, apparently, like, this past year, I was following it. I'm from Texas, and it was, like, a huge problem across Texas.
Yeah.
And the normal clowns were actually, like, they wrote op-eds to the scary clowns?
Yeah, the scary clowns. Look,
yeah.
If there's a scary clown standing in your yard and you shoot him in the brain, I mean, you're on pretty solid legal ground. So, you know, I applaud you, scary clown.
Yeah.
I applaud you for your convictions, because particularly if you're in a stand-your-ground state, because no 12-man jury is really going to feel too much sympathy for the scary clown who gets shot in the middle of the night standing in some, you know, some family's backyard who has kids. I shoot the fucking principal.
Yeah.
Get your floppy clown cheese off my lawn, motherfucker. And I would feel, as I did it, I'd be feeling pretty good about my legal prospects. Yeah. Don't like clowns. Mimes, obviously, but no, who likes mimes?
Are they even around anymore?
I think you pay them to go away. I mean, that's what you do. You know, when they come up to you, it's like in the mall, you know, it's like, hey, here's the money. You're the good grandfather. Somebody else. You know, and the Swiss, you know, Switzerland. I'm not kidding. I've never been.
I think we should put all the clowns and all of the mimes in Switzerland and just call it a day.
At least we know where they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's our Guantanamo Bay for clowns and mimes.
Oh. What do you hate the most in food? Like, if there's, like, one dish that you just...
I hate?
Could 86 forever, what would it be?
Well, I mean, there are certain dishes that are signs that nothing from this point on is going to be good. That you're in the wrong place. Like a Kobe beef slider. You know, or any place that has a Kobe meatball. You know that you're probably not going to want to hang out with the people at the next table. You know, you're in the wrong place. Complicating simple good things, I hate. Utter indifference to what you do. I mean, look, I was a short order cook for a long time. Often at minimum wage or slightly above. I hated what I was doing. I hated who I was cooking for. I hated who I was working for. But if you asked me to make an omelet, I did my best. I tried to make the best omelet I could. So people who just don't care at all. I mean, they already work for maybe a franchise that doesn't care. None of us are where we want to be at this precise moment. But an indifferently prepared hamburger by somebody who doesn't give a fuck and doesn't care whether you give a fuck. He doesn't give a fuck about anything and just slaps it on. Look, I'm a guy who unfortunately is always looking for the black crows, you know, the augurs, the signs of imminent doom or the collapse of civilization. I'm insensitive to much, but hypersensitive to ridiculous things. And a meal by somebody who just doesn't give a fuck and doesn't care if you know it. It makes me sad in a way that really can depress me for a lot of time.
So going back to the idea of like Switzerland and the clowns and the mimes, what is the thing that we can send over there from 2016 in food? Is there anything?
To Switzerland?
Yeah, just like any like trends... Anything that you're just like,
I don't know. Oh. I don't know the country, so I don't know what they need or want or expect. I mean, it's completely unfair of me. You know, maybe it's a food wonderland. Maybe they're all really nice.
No. I mean, 2016 food trends.
Right. That we can send
that,
to.
That, like, for me, it would be like a rainbow bagel.
Oh, you mean like sort of like a cargo cult sort of dumping or...
The things we don't want. Yeah. Onto the island of mines.
Yeah, maybe let's not use Switzerland. Let's use Al-Qaeda or something.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, certainly the Kobe burger, truffle oil, macaroni and cheese with any adulterants other than maybe ham. Third slice of bread for the club sandwich.
Wait, you don't like truffle oil? At all? No.
No, okay. It's evil and it has no relationship to truffles at all.
Well,
it's an industrial solvent, basically.
Yes, this is
true. And a truffle is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. But if if everything you eat that you think has truffles in it is jacked with truffle oil, when the truffle comes along, you will be oblivious to it. I mean, it's. There is a sexual metaphor here somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's really like sort of the porn star versus a real fucking human being. You know, if your level of expectation is so blown out and distorted and twisted by what the truffle oil is presenting, you're fucked forever ever understanding the natural magnificence of this thing, the truffle.
What I really appreciate about your new book is that you don't have a dessert chapter. It's just cheese.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a reflection also of the fact that I don't know how to make dessert. So why should I pretend? I mean, there are a few desserts that I'm reasonably competent at. If you ask me to make an apple tart, I could do that. Creme caramel, probably butter cookies, stuff like that. A basic chocolate mousse, fine. I could probably work from a recipe for some basics. But I'm not good at any of those things. In fact, I'm probably actively bad and don't have the disposition, the sensibility, the natural born affection for or connection to sweet things. I don't really, my palate is not geared towards sweet. But, I'm an enthusiastic advocate of a big block of, like, good rippled with blue cheese and a glass of port. That, I know, is awesome. And I know it's what I'd want for dessert. So I just figured, why lie? You know, it's such an obligatory afterthought. You know, the chef who doesn't make dessert, they hire somebody to come in and be like, I need five desserts for the fucking dessert chef. I'm not going to do that.
What do you think makes a good travel mate or a traveler?
I mean, I travel with a team. You know, so we're more like a unit. You know, we all are united by a purpose. But wow, that's really fucking tough. Honestly, I think traveling alone is probably... Traveling alone, going someplace with someone you really care about is of course, wonderful. But traveling, people handle those pressures and uncertainties differently. They're all hell of a lot of reasons to not go to Brazil, you know, a long trip through Brazil with someone you love. I mean, you know, or India, where things go wrong, you get stuck. You got to be quick to you're going to be fast on your feet and ready to move to plan B. To be a good traveler, I think. An itinerary, a rigid itinerary as a traveler is a lethal instinct. You know, it's a crippler. You know, today's the day we're going to go see the Louvre. No. How about we just go to the corner and get drunk and eat, you know, like a mediocre, you know, calf's liver with frites. Wouldn't that be awesome? My God, I mean, you know, a guided tour would be the nightmare scenario. To be shuttled from place to place with strangers or even family. I mean, it's tough.
When you're dealing with jet lag like you are today, mm-hmm. especially, like, how do you push through that? Are you just sort of deal with it?
I don't get
like...
headaches or any of the symptoms. You know, I don't get the helmet anymore. You know, I try to just sleep it through, you know, until it comes around. I sleep in the afternoon a lot. I mean, you know, if I wake up at 3 in the morning, as I probably will tonight, I will be asleep at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, picking up a couple of hours. It's not an ideal situation, but, you know, I sleep on planes from takeoff to landing. I don't care how long the flight is. I smell jet fuel. It's like Pavlov's dog. And I was like, the bing, I'm out. I'm asleep for takeoff. I'm asleep for landing.
I'm so jealous. I have the opposite problem, but... Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
No. I don't do that.
Really?
No.
Why is that?
I think I have a realistic expectations of myself when I'm... What have I got to give up? I'm trying to live a decent life lately in the sense that I try not to hurt people. I try not to disappoint people. If I say I'm going to do a thing, I do it. If I say I'm going to show up at a certain time, I show up early. I try to fulfill my responsibilities as I have expressed them or implied them. You know, I don't shoot dope or snort coke or do crack. I figure I'm doing pretty good.
All right, any final thoughts for the next 4 years?
Look, as dim a view as I have of the future right now, and it's pretty goddamn grim. And this is not exclusively an American problem. I mean, we're seeing a rise of authoritarianism and strongman leaders everywhere. Don't be a hashtag activist. You know, change is going to take some fucking time. You know, dig in for the long haul. Spend some time with the enemy. You know, walk around in some other people's shoes. You know, try to get your priorities reasonable. A little love. Some good pasta. Nice spicy noodles. Survival.
Thank you to Anthony Bourdain, the staff at the Carlisle, and Bemelman's Bar. And especially Earl Rose, the Emmy Award-winning piano player and composer. And to Ludwig Bemelmans, who's made a lot of kids' childhoods much brighter with Madeline. Anthony Bourdain has a new book called Appetites. So if you're the delinquent family member who still hasn't purchased a holiday gift, you know what to do. 2016's been a really weird year. But thank you so much for being faithful listeners, because this podcast wouldn't be possible if you guys didn't tune in. We've traveled the world together, we've gotten some heartburn, we've had a couple cries, a lot of laughs, maybe a little bit of indigestion. But most of all, we've met a lot of amazing people and eaten a lot of delicious things. So thank you. And thank you so much to my awesome podcast producer, Phil Domachowski, for making this podcast actually sound like a real podcast. Without you, I would just sound like another talking head, which I probably do anyway. We'll be back with a brand new season in 2017. Until then, this episode is dedicated to your health, to hope, and a stiff drink. Happy holidays, everybody.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.